I'm continuing on today with the third part of our series. And what is the title of our series, our overall series? Amen. Getting ready to fall in love again. That's our series. A series of sermons that Pastor Rick kicked off with loving the ain'ts. Amen. And sometimes we're included in that. And then Pastor Kelly preaching last week on loving the Lord. And that was awesome as well. And today, loving the saints. Amen. Look around you and there's going to be a saint somewhere nearby. Praise God. Amen. Yeah, loving the saints. Praise God. So today we're going to focus on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter of the Bible. And we're going to look really focusing strongly on the first three verses, which the Apostle Paul begins by saying, "Now I will show you the most excellent way." Amen. But first, let's join our hearts, saints, in prayer. Oh, most holy God, you who are an awesome God, glorious God, so loving, faithful, and true, we thank you for the honor of your presence in our midst this day. And we pray at this time, as we actively listen to the preaching of your holy word, that our ears may be attuned to know your ways, that our hearts would be steadily focused on you. Praise be to you, Lord God Almighty, as we hear your word. And it's in your name, Lord Jesus, that we give you thanks for the transformation that you're continuing to work in each and in all of our lives. And it's in your name we all join to say, amen and amen. Loving the saints. Amen. Those set apart. Hallelujah. Well, today we're going to look at love that will really make a difference in our lives, in our relationships, in our marriages, in our work relationships. So let's get going. Amen. You have a sermon note sheet. I'm going to ask for you to pull that out there, and you'll see right there at the top two things we can do to all fall in love again. Amen. And the first is what? Ask what love is. All right. And then secondly, act like love acts. Amen. All right. Ask what love is. Well, together, let's just read those first three verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Together. If I speak in human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. All right, saints, acting like love acts. All right, well, what is love? And I want us to look at love from a few kids' point of view. And these were little kids in the kindergarten. And I took this, it's from a book called From a Kid's Point of View. And one little person said, when someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You know that your name is safe in their mouth. Another little person said, love is when my daddy makes coffee for my mommy and he takes a sip before giving it to her to make sure the taste is okay. Woo! That sounds like love to me. Amen. Another little person said, love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening the presents and listen. Ooh, amen. That's deep. Ain't that deep? That's deep for these little theologians. Amen. Another little person said, love is like friends who are still friends even after they know each other so well. Hallelujah. Amen. Another little person said, love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he's handsomer than Denzel Washington. Woo! That is love, amen. Another little person said, love is when your puppy licks your face even after you've left her alone all day. All right, that is true love, amen. Another little person said, you really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot, because people forget. Amen. Amen. Now, saints, I wholeheartedly agree with the premise that Pastor Kelly made last Sunday in her message, Loving the Lord. And that premise was that many of us, we really don't know what love is. Amen. Well, what are the tests of love? Now, I love this story, and I don't know if you've heard about it already, but it's about an actor who was playing the part of Christ in a passion play in the Ozarks. And as he was carrying up the cross on the hill, a tourist began heckling and making fun of him and shouting insults. Finally, the actor had taken all of it he could, so he threw down his cross, he walked over to the tourist, and punched him. Well, after the play was over, the director told him, I know he was a pest, but I can't condone what you did. Besides, you're playing the part of Jesus, and Jesus never acted like that and retaliated. So don't do anything like that again. Well, the man promised he wouldn't, but the next day the heckler was back worse than before, and finally the actor just exploded and went over there and punched him again. And the director says, that's it, I've got to fire you. We just can't have you behaving this way while you're playing the part of Jesus. The actor said, oh, please give me one more chance. I really need this job. I can handle it if it happens again. I really can. So the director decided to give him another chance. The next day he was carrying his cross up the street, and sure enough, the heckler was there. You could tell that the actor was really trying hard to control himself, but it was about to get the best of him. He was clenching his fists and grinding his teeth and holding on to that cross so tight, and he finally looked at the heckler and said, I'll meet you after the resurrection. I'll meet you after the resurrection. All right. All right, saints. You know, indeed, sometimes it is hard, amen, for those who profess to be Christians to behave as Christians should, all right, even to fellow saints. We try hard to carry our crosses, amen, but if somebody upsets us or tends to cross us, we can lose our composure, amen, and behave in much of the same way as the world behaves. But the Word of God teaches us that we are to be people who exercise love in all of our relationships with one another. Look at your sermon note sheet. Listen to these words. I want us together to read Romans 12:18 together. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And Hebrews 12:14. Make every effort to live in peace with all and to be holy. Amen. Now, these scriptures, they say the same thing. Amen. And it may be difficult sometimes, and not everybody is easy to love. How many know that? You got somebody, amen, that they're not easy to love. Amen. All right, we call them the EGRs. That means extra grace is required. Hallelujah. Now, sometimes we ourselves are EGRs. Extra grace is required for us, too. And we're not particularly easy to get along with. But if possible, Scripture tells us, we are to live in peace and in harmony with everyone. Hallelujah. All right. Now, we're going to look at the importance of love in our lives. We're going to check it out with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Apostle Paul, looking at our verses, is saying, I want to show you the best way to take care of virtually every situation. Now, does that sound good? That sounds good. And he says, and that is the way of love. Then Paul points out that love is more important than five other things that Christians ought to consider very important. Now, look there in verse 1. Paul says that love is more important than spiritual gifts. All right, now, Paul says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Amen. Now, saints, on the day of Pentecost, when the very first gospel sermon was ever preached, God gave the apostles the special gift of being able to speak in languages that they had not learned so that people hearing them could understand what was being said. But here in 1 Corinthians, Paul is saying that if God gave him the gift of speaking in every human language, even the heavenly language of the angels, but if he didn't have love, then he would be nothing more than a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Praise God. Hallelujah. I like them new drums. Amen. Amen. Now, what did Paul mean by that, saints? Well, back in the first century, there was a big gong or cymbal hanging in the entrance at most pagan temples. And when people came to worship, they hit them to awaken the pagan gods so that they would listen to their prayers. So, okay, they come to the door, and then they would go over to the gong and say, and then I would wake them up, so then they would come in and pray their prayers. Now, here Paul is saying that even if he were so blessed that he could speak in the greatest of eloquence in every language, but he didn't have love, then his life was as useless as this ridiculous act of pounding a gong to awaken non-existent gods. All right, saints, you see here that love is more important than the gift or the ability to be able to speak in the tongues of men and angels. Hallelujah. Now, secondly, look there at verse 2. Paul says that love is more important than what? Knowledge. Than knowledge. Paul says if I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, but have not love, I am nothing. Paul says that even if you know it all, we all know a know-it-all, amen? Even if you know it all, even if you know everything there is to know about nuclear science, everything there is to know about medicine, everything there is to know about psychology, everything there is to know about philosophy, everything there is to know about theology, everything to know about any other kind of ology, hallelujah. Even if you were so smart, you could have outsmarted that computer on Jeopardy last week. His name was Watson. How many saw Jeopardy last week? All right, Watson ended up winning, right? Even if you were smart enough to beat Watson, all right? Even if you were a know-it-all and knew everything, but have not love, then you are still nothing, Paul says. You can be able to quote almost every verse in the Word of God, but if you have not love, then Paul says you are nothing, all right? Now, you know, saints, it has amazed me that when people, we look at society and we try to analyze, oh, what is wrong? What has happened? What is going on? We're killing and abusing one another. Why are we living so immoral, living contrary to the Word of God? Why? Well, the experts, they always seem to come back with the same answer, which is we need more education. They start saying we need to get everybody educated. Then we won't be having all of these problems anymore. But saints, I don't think education is the answer. Okay, I believe in education. Education is wonderful. We need education. But listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. Paul says, and this is 1 Corinthians 8:1, knowledge puffs up. All right, you talking about swells the head. You get the big puffed head. But love builds up. Now, I don't think we need so much more education or knowledge as much as we need more love. Amen. We need a whole lot more of love. And the hearts of people, especially God's people, we need to change before society will ever change. All right, saints, you see, love is more important than the ability to fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. All right, thirdly, Paul says that love is more important than faith. Can you believe that? Now, Paul doesn't say that faith is not important. He just says that love is more important than faith, all right? He says that it's more important. He says, if I have faith, that can move mountains. I'm talking about faith. I say to the mountain, move, and the mountain moves. If I have that kind of faith but have not love, I am nothing. Saints, faith, we are told in Scripture, is so important that it is impossible to please God without it. Amen. And I trust that all of us here today have faith. But I want to ask you, what is your faith in today? What do you believe for sure that you know that you know that you believe today? Do you believe that God is the creator of this world? Hallelujah. Do you believe that Jesus loved you so much that he came all the way down, that he lived for you, and then he suffered, he died, and he rose again for you to have life? How many believe that today? How many believe that Jesus has gone back and he is preparing a place for us? Hallelujah. And that Jesus is going to return just like he said he would. Jesus is coming back again. How many know that today? Hallelujah. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit is here? That the Holy Spirit resides in you? That the Holy Spirit is your counselor, your teacher, your comforter? Hallelujah. Your counselor. Well, praise God, saints, if you believe all these things, that is awesome. Amen. But I want us to know that the Bible teaches that even if you believe all of the right truth, even if you believe all of the right stuff, you do not have love, then you are nothing. Because even faith is of no value unless it's backed up by love. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. Now, for an example, in the Gospel of Luke, we see that priest walking down the road. We see that Levite walking down, and they just pass. They see that man that's been beat up, bleeding and dying, and they both just walk by him. They just keep going, you know. Well, we see that the Samaritan, he was the one that had faith and love, amen? The problem with those two when they first went by was they had no love. They had faith in God, but they had no love for that one that had been beaten up. And so they just walked on by him and just left him there to die. Galatians 5:6, the Apostle Paul says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Hallelujah. You see, saints, love is even more important than the ability to say, mountain move, and the mountain moves. Now that's deep. Now fourthly, we see Paul saying that love is more important than what? Generosity. Paul says, if I give all that I have to the poor, but have not love, I gain nothing. El zippo, zilcho, amen. Now notice that Paul doesn't say, if I give 10%, which the Word of God tells us 10%, Paul says, if I give everything, if I empty my checking account, if I give all of my retirement funds, if I sell my house, if I give away all my insurance policies, if I sit on the corner with nothing left but what I am wearing, and I've given it to help the poor, but I don't have love, then I am nothing at all. Woo, that's deep, saints. You see, generosity is not enough, Paul is saying. I want to ask you today, do you consider yourself a generous person? Just think about that. You know, at our house, we get calls all of the time. People selling this, selling that. They want us to order this and order that. They want us to give funds to this and funds to that. Many of them are good, worthwhile causes. But I want us to think a moment, why do you give? Why do I give? Do you give because we've preached a sermon on stewardship? Do you give because you think, well, if I don't give, God might zap me or get mad at me? Do you give because you want to impress others? Oh, yeah, see what I'm giving? Do you give because you think God is not going to bless you? Or do you give because you think that you're going to get more back because of what you have given? Well, you see, saints, all of these are for the wrong reason. If the only reason I give is to receive for myself, if the only reason I give is to benefit myself, saints, then love is absent. and my giving is empty. You see, the motive for giving, Paul says, should be what? It should be love. Love for God. Love for each other. Love for those who are lost and don't know Jesus Christ as Lord. Love for those who are hurting. Love for those who are in need. Saints, you see, love is more important than even the ability of giving all that we possess to the poor. Now, looking there, then Paul says that love is more important than what? Accomplishments. Paul says, if I give my body over to hardship but have not love, I gain nothing. Saints, Paul here is talking about martyrdom. Paul is talking about being so faithful, being so committed to God that you end up dying because of your faith. Well, how deep is your faith today? Look into your heart. How deep is your commitment today? Are you willing to lay your life down for God? Well, it might come to that one day. We don't know. But saints, God is saying that even if you go to church each and every day and you come through those doors every time the church is open, even if you read your Bible faithfully and listen to CDs, even if you pray morning, noon, and night, do all of the things that a Christian ought to do, but if there is no love behind all of that, then it is nothing in God's sight. So Paul is saying, saints, that love, everybody say love, love, love is more important than spiritual gifts. Love is more important than knowledge. Love is more important than faith. Love is more important than generosity. It's more important than all the things that we might accomplish for the kingdom of God. Love. Now together I would like for us to read verses 4 through 8. The Apostle Paul speaking to God's people together. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Now, saints, we are in a covenant relationship with God as God's people. We are the saints of God, those set apart. And therefore, we ought to strive to love like Jesus loves. Amen? Amen. Love like Jesus loves. So God is asking us today through this powerful passage of Scripture. God is asking us, how's your love life? How's your love life today, dear saint? How's your love life? How is the practice of your love in everyday life? How is the practice of God's love in your everyday life going? Well, because obviously love is very important, much more maybe than we ever realized before. I want us to listen to what Jesus says in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus says, a new commandment I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Now, saints, I want us to notice that Jesus says that this is a commandment. This is not a suggestion. And God never commands us to do anything that we cannot do. Hallelujah. Now, the best things in life, have you noticed, always have love wrapped around them. Amen. And I want to challenge each of us today. Love. Start expressing it, dear saint. I know it can feel uncomfortable for a while, but I want us to, even if you have to force it, all right. Now I want you to look around. Just take a look at some of the saints around you right now. Just look at the saints around you. Praise God. Now, love. Jesus has told us to love one another. Now, you might have to say, I want to get to a new level, and you might have to force it. Just go ahead and give a hug. Maybe you're not into, you got to learn how to do it. Maybe just start and pat somebody on the back today. Or maybe encourage somebody. Maybe tell somebody something that they did and it was an encouragement to you. Or maybe say, you know, can I help you with this? Or can I do something for you or with you? Or let's just make a decision. Because as you just say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to just go over here. And if you're not used to giving out, just go over and try it. Just give them a big bear hug and say, I'm forcing this. I'm learning how to do this. And then before you know it, it's going to become natural. Amen. Hallelujah. One day you'll be expressing love for someone, and then you'll think, wow, that sure is good. That's good. Love feels good. Hallelujah. High five somebody and say, love feels good. Amen. It feels so good. Oh, love feels good. Now, amen. Now, saints, we are all a part of the family of God. Amen. I want us to look around us again. Look at your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Look at your brothers and sisters and know that Jesus cares about them. Amen. Whatever Jesus cares about, you and I must care about. Hallelujah. And therefore, we must resolve in our hearts that we're going to love like Jesus loved. Now, Jesus said, love like he loved. Amen. And to love like Jesus loves, it takes the power of God. Hallelujah. How many know we don't have that power, but God's power can help us love like Jesus loved. And when we walk in love, saints, we ourselves are kept in the covenant, and the blessings are released from God into our lives as we walk in love. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Hallelujah. Can you just high five your neighbor right now and say, oh, love like Jesus loved. We got to love. We got to love like Jesus loves. Oh, we got to love like Jesus loves. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. So, saints, in conclusion, for those of us who really desire this, we really want to go to higher levels in our loving the saints. I have printed it's a proclamation for those of us who really are serious about loving like Jesus loves. Those of us who are saints, we're a part of the family of God. We are part of the covenant people of God. And I'm going to ask that we declare this statement together and that we put it on our refrigerator or in the bathroom or somewhere to be a reminder for us to love like Jesus loves. And I want us to proclaim it together. Here we go. I am a covenant person because I walk in love, not because I go to church. I am a covenant person, not because I can quote the scripture. I am a covenant person because I have made a decision to walk like Jesus and to walk in love with my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Saints, Jesus indeed said that the world will know that we are his disciples by our love one for another. Oh, praise your name. Can we just give the Lord a praise offering today for the privilege to be a part of the covenant people of God? For the privilege to receive God's love and to be able to love like Jesus loved. Oh, saints, let's join our hearts in prayer. Praise your name, Lord God. We thank you for your gracious loving kindness always and ever toward we, your people. And oh, God, we are so thankful that you see our potential in spite of the times that we choose to go our own way. We choose not to love. And we just thank you for your forgiveness. And we pray that you would help each and every one of us to rise to new levels, to choose to love others as you love, as you desire. Oh God, forgive our self-focus, even if we label it as service. Oh, we long today to be more than gongs, more than clanging cymbals, oh God. We want to be individuals. We want to be families. We want to be the family of God, the saints who love one another well and who love you and love others into the kingdom. And so together we say thank you, Lord, and make it so is our prayer in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And all of God's loving saints join together to say amen and amen.